Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Wisdom Chat. I'm Phil Holdsworth, your host, and my wonderful guest today is Jenny Detheridge, who's an IT, a HR independent consultant who works with startup and small businesses. Welcome, Jenny, to Wisdom Chat.
Thank you, Phil. Thanks. I'm really excited to be on today.
Oh, brilliant, brilliant.
Well, thank you very much. Issues, but I don't think it'd be very good.
Yeah, no, it's a fraudulent slip. but thank you very much for joining me today. I'm just thinking about the present climate. Just read a piece this morning about a local small business, a restaurant, who's having to close down because of the rising cost of energy, and really not certain as to how they can sustain that going forward. And it's always sad, isn't it, when you hear of small businesses closing down and the impact, not just on the business, but on the people who work in the business and the local community around. 94% of the working population, close brothers have identified, worry about finances. And I think you mentioned earlier, Jenny, about 8 out of 10 take that money worry to work with them. So it's going to have a profound impact. And I like the statement that you have on your LinkedIn page, which is, I truly believe that happy people equally happy. What's it? I truly believe that happy people equal happy businesses. I'll get it right before now. And getting the basics of your people's strategy and process is fundamental to achieving that. And I totally agree with you. But what's your sort of take on how things are going at the moment with the rising cost of living and the impact on particularly startups and small businesses, Jenny?
Definitely. So it's something that is talked about, I'm finding, like, daily with me and my clients. It's something that I see constantly in the news and on LinkedIn. And I think people are struggling. I think employees are struggling. They're definitely worrying about it and worrying about the impact that that is going to have on them long term. And the businesses that I work with, as I imagine lots of businesses are also worried about how they can support their employees, but not forgetting that it's also having an impact on them as a business as well. So what I'm currently working with is trying to help the businesses understand where their employees' worries lie and finding cost-effective solutions that they can implement to support their teams. And just being aware of it, I think, is key for them at the moment.
Yeah.
As I said before, because I'm working with startups and small businesses, they don't necessarily have the huge profits and budgets behind them to implement really fancy schemes, but they still want to do something to support their teams.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, that's what I come across in terms of either they just don't have really a budget to sort of do anything around the, like, for example, financial well-being. Or the other thing I often find is it's an area that they just don't feel that they've got an expertise in. And really, how do we start? Where do we start? And therefore don't go there. I mean, are you finding that there's kind of a reticence sometimes to engage in some of the well-being activities out there?
Yeah, I think it's scary for organisations because at the moment, like, they're being put under a lot of pressure to support and educate their teams. And it, you know, it's difficult, as you said, to know exactly where their responsibility starts and ends. For employees, they're looking to their employers to give them more money to support them, you know, with the rising cost of living. They are then, you know, concerned that they may not be able to commute to and from work, the rising costs of petrol. But then also there's, you know, if you're working from home, you're also entering a time now where it's going to be really costly to heat your house. So it's, you know, impacting both employers and employees. And for organizations, the ones that I'm working with, I'm trying to support them in just initially just starting that conversation, understanding how their employees are feeling at the moment, where their worries are regarding, you know, finances and what they think that their organization could do to support them. And I think as a business, you've got to recognize that, you know, you may not be able to do everything that your employees ask of, but there could be a few common themes that you could actually have quite a big impact if you were to make some small changes.
Yeah. Just tell me again what you were saying earlier about John Lewis.
So I was reading this morning. So John Lewis have actually, it was on Sky News, they are forgiving their profit this year to support their community and employees with the cost of living crisis. And they are giving each permanent member of staff £500 to support them at this time, which is a huge kind of benefit. They've got hundreds of thousands of staff, I imagine. Yeah. So really kind of helping out there. And I think that then, you know, people hear things like that in the news and they then think, oh, my employer, you know, could or should do the same, which large employers, you know, can probably look at. But when you're a small startup or small business, family run business, like you just don't have that kind of money always to play with and to invest back into your teams.
Yeah, it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because on the one hand, you're thinking, wow, you know, that's fantastic that John Lewis are doing this. And where I've heard of other businesses who have decided to do something similar to support, you know, the support that government are giving to everybody at this difficult time. And you're thinking, that's great. But one of the things I've learned about things like stress and anxiety is we think we can be doing things that are helping people. And without a shadow of a doubt, I think it's fantastic what John Lewis and others do to support their staff. So that's not in question at all. However, we can be forgiven sometimes for thinking, right, well, job's done. And yet wonder, why is it that people are still not fully engaged at work? Why is it that people are worrying about things? And maybe there's something else that we need to address in people. I don't know what you've come across in your work with businesses where they've done, you know, certainly a practical step externally, but perhaps it's not really hit the mark.
Yeah, I think you get that with a lot of wellbeing initiatives. I think it can be easy for businesses to kind of say, oh, it's a wellbeing day or a wellbeing week. And they really focus on that one day or one week in time and maybe do something really nice for their employees. And then they get pushback like, oh, you know, it's just a token gesture. It doesn't actually mean that there's going to be longer term changes here. And I think the same can be said perhaps for financial well-being. Like once you've had that bonus or benefit given to you, like it quite quickly gets forgotten about, and you know the team are, you know, their problems still haven't gone away, they're still worrying about money, they're still struggling to manage their finances, and therefore, you know, are coming back and asking for more. So that kind of one gesture has not really gone that far in terms of education and supporting the team, albeit it being a very nice kind of thing at the time.
Most definitely. And I agree with you. And it's funny, but one of the things I come across often with particularly the smaller businesses is that I get asked the question, can you do something on financial well-being? Well, of course I can. What would you like? What are you thinking? Well, we'd like somebody to come in and give an hour over lunch because we want to support our staff. And I'm just, you know, all of that just, it just sounds wrong. But they're genuine. So they don't actually appreciate the wrongness of what they're just saying. If you're supporting people, so supporting them with their well-being, well, surely they need their lunch. They don't want to be sat on a training course over their lunch period. They need that sort of time out to take a breather. And then they can come back and give their best to their work. However, if they are worrying about things, an hour session over lunch will never do it, as you were alluding to. It would be construed by many as a tick box exercise, and it can have more of a detrimental impact in people's psyche with regards to how they view their employer. They don't really care. They just want to tick a box. And that's not necessarily the heart and mind of the employer. They genuinely want to do something, but they haven't realised that that 1 hour there is really not going to cut it.
Yeah.
And that's not what people are really looking for. But I understand it from a point of view that, you know, the cost of being able to do something like this might feel for some prohibitive. And therefore, that's why they go down that route.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it could end up being wasted money anyway.
Yeah.
Because like you say, it doesn't really impact where it really needs to impact. I don't know if that's something you find, you know, not just with financial side, but any form of like training or, you know, anything to do with well-being, where companies feel like they're doing their part to support their employees.
Yeah.
But actually what they're doing is not really having the desired effect.
Definitely. And I think being in HR, like, you really do see both sides of things. Like, I, you know, speak to business leaders regularly, and I genuinely see that they want to support and they're maybe at a bit of a loss and just aren't quite sure how to best support. You know, they haven't got huge budgets to support their team. So, you know, maybe they do go with that one lunchtime session or, you know, small kind of gesture to the team, which for them, they feel like, you know, they're doing something really positive, and that's come from a place of wanting to do something positive, but without seeking the feedback from the team to start with, to understand what it is that they want. As you said, like, it can land really poorly, and the employees kind of think, oh, you know, they don't, you know, feel as though that's what they needed, that's what they wanted. But at the same time, like, they haven't been either haven't asked for anything specific, or they haven't been given an opportunity to ask for something specific. So my role within HR is always to encourage like employees to, you know, if you're struggling, like, go and speak to somebody, ask for that help. Like, that's really important. And for business leaders and business owners, like, ask, like, have those one-to-one meetings, chat to your team, really get to know them, understand what their individual differences are, and then try and pull together the best plan that you can to support the individual needs within the business. And I think that can feel really overwhelming sometimes to a business owner, like, oh, how can we support everybody with their own individual needs? But often there tends to be, you know, a common theme or common issues that you can start to address and put a plan in place to support.
Yeah. Do you think it's, I mean, we can all fall foul of making assumptions, can't we? So none of us are exempt from that. And I think I completely agree with you with regards to just simply asking a question and finding out really what people would like, what people would need. Yeah. And then recognising if you don't really know how to address it, then seek out professionals like you and I who can actually help them make the right kind of choices to support their employees. I was just mindful of a conversation I had quite some time ago with an organization. We were talking about well-being, and they said that they'd been doing a lot of work around establishing what their employees needed. And I said, oh, how did you do that? Oh, we looked at the absence rate. And I said, right, what did you conclude by that? We felt that they needed, and they started listing some things that just didn't seem to, you know, sort of marry up. You could tell it was the assumption being made that people were absent because of, right, let's address those needs. But they'd not actually asked the people. And one of the things I asked them, I said, what about, you know, financial well-being? Oh, nobody's asking about that at all. And then all of a sudden, their colleague who was sat next to them said, well, we've never asked them. Yeah. You know, and I thought, yeah, it's very easy to make assumptions and throw something at people. You know, let's do something on work-life balance. Let's do, you know, cycle to work initiative and things like this. And we're genuinely thinking, oh, we're helping, but actually we're not really scratching where it's itching.
Yeah, definitely. And I think as well, especially on the topic of money, like, it's an uncomfortable thing to say you're struggling with. It can be easy kind of to say, oh, you know, I've got far too much work on, or, you know, I'm overwhelmed, I'm quite stressed. Like, it can be pinpointed at work, but I think with money worries, like, that goes so much further than just what's happening in the workplace. And I think people can feel quite embarrassed about it and scared to, you know, say I'm really struggling, because you can get people that struggling, you know, from your lowest paid member of staff right through to your highest paid member of staff. Like, anyone can have a money worry, and they could be different money worries, but, you know, it can be really scary to ask for help and say that you are worried about that.
What do you think are the kind of things that people are scared of that like prevent them from talking about it or asking for help? You know, have you come across any things in your line of work that sort of highlighted some of the reasons that sit behind why people don't talk about some things?
I think the number one thing, I think, is that it's that fear of judgment. I think with everyone, like, you're always worried about what other people may think. I think as well, there's that fear of, you know, if I ask for more money, I could, you know, be told no, and, you know, they may kind of bring up things related to performance that, you know, is hard to hear at times. But I think that main one is just around that fear of, you know, judgment. I think that it's becoming more and more common, you know, now for organizations to look at being a lot more transparent with their pay structures, which I think is amazing. I think it's really great for people to be able to see kind of, you know, where that next step is for them, and know that, you know, they feel as though they're being paid fairly compared to other members of their team. Because I think there's, you know, in some organizations, and definitely, you know, prior to now, there's been that worry that, you know, what are all the rest of my team earning? Am I earning less than them? Is it unfair? But that transparency can really help you kind of plan your future with an organization, but also feel that you're being treated fairly.
Do you think that, you know, if you think about the culture in our country and the mindset around money, and also the approach that we have in the workplace, very often you don't talk about your salary. And it's almost like money has become a really dirty word, you know, and we don't talk about it. And I agree that there is that sense of judgment. I think, you know, and what will people think, and how will this impact my career? And I remember years ago, I started with a new company. I just started this new job, and it was a step up for me with a new company, a new industry as well for me. And so on the one hand, very exciting, and there's a degree of trepidation. But on the other hand, I was also in struggling financially. And and this many years ago, me and my wife, you know, found ourselves, unfortunately, in a very difficult place with three young kiddies trying to make ends meet. And we'd accumulated some debt. And one of my biggest fears, because the organisation I went to work for was a finance organisation. And I thought, if they find out that I'm in debt, will I lose my job? And, you know, and that, for me, it was a palpable fear that prevented me from, you know, really talking, certainly in my work environment, about some of my struggles. I couldn't do that. But, I, you know, there was a point in which I came to where I thought, I really do need some help. And unfortunately, there was help out there, and that came in the form of an organisation that's known today as Step Change Debt Charity. But back in those days, it was CCCS. And there are others like Citizens Advice and National Debt Line and Christians Against Poverty and people like this who will help people who are struggling financially. And they don't even have to be out of work, you know, or just on benefits. These are anybody.
Yeah.
But I just remember the first time I just reached out to the organisation for help and really worried, really nervous, because I had no idea how we were going to respond. But I'll tell you what, over the years since then, what it's made me realise that if an organisation can create an environment, like you were saying about the transparency, where it is transparent, people know exactly where they stand, and actually it's not a bad thing to talk about money or ask for help. There's a recognition we all need help at some point in time, and that when people ask for help, they're not judged, then there's more empathy being used there to help and support them, that the loyalty of the individual and the commitment to their work just shoots up, it just rockets. I know it did with me when I knew I was finally getting that help and support. I could really put my whole effort into the work that I was doing.
Yeah,
is that something that you see or you talk to companies about? Or
yeah, that's amazing that you felt that you could, you know, do that, and they were able to give you that support at the time. And I think, talking of like from the company's point of view, I think it they can feel that they want to open up that dialogue with their team, but then there's also that fear when managers don't feel like they're equipped to have those difficult conversations as well. And I think it's important that managers know that they don't have to, you know, have, you know, all the answers. They don't have to counsel or support somebody, you know, through this, but what they can do is help signpost them to the right support. So like you said, those charities that can support you if you're in debt. There's normally kind of, as like the charities would tend to be kind of free guidance and support that a manager could direct their employee to. And then that manager just needs to be there for them and say, you know, do you need any additional support? Like, have you been able to get through to the charity? Have they given you that, you know, the help that you need? And just having that supportive manager is enough to kind of, you know, make you feel like you're, you know, supported. And again, like feeling valued within the company as well and unjudged. There's also kind of a few benefits portals that do offer, you know, confidential advice. So organizations can put those in place. They can signpost their people to the right support that they need and is going to help them.
Yeah. No, that's really good. I'm conscious of time, Jenny. Just, you know, if somebody really would like to chat with you and sort of particularly, you know, new startups and small businesses, and they would really like to find ways of being able to support their employees, but are not really quite sure how to start, how would they get hold of you?
So my LinkedIn page is a great place to kind of find out a little bit more about me. So that's Jenny Detheridge on LinkedIn, Jenny with an IE. But you could also email me at jenny@jdcoachingandconsultancy.co.uk. Sorry, it's a bit of a long one. but hopefully I can send you my email address. So if they can get hold of you to get my email address, then that would be great. And I offer kind of a supportive kind of initial chat with people. There's no kind of obligation there. I just have a chat about their needs and the best way in which I can support them with their
needs. I would support that, what you're saying there, that if somebody is concerned about their business, concerned about their employees, and obviously in this present climate, then it is recommended. I would strongly urge them to talk to people like yourself, Jenny, because like you said earlier, there's always something that can be done, and it just needs another pair of eyes on the situation. It needs another head to help them perhaps think outside the box and think of things they perhaps didn't think about before. But I suppose every business at the moment is really considering, am I okay? Am I going to survive? Am I resilient enough to ride out this storm at the moment? And I suppose that's a sort of primary focus for many. But Jenny, it's been lovely talking to you. I know that we could cover a whole host of other things, and perhaps we could do it some bonny time, because I'd love to have regular people on Wisdom Chat that could, we cover different aspects of, for yourself, different aspects of, say, HR for businesses. Right. Would be wonderful. But Jenny, it's been lovely talking to you.
You too. Thank you very much.
And all the best going forward.
You too. Excited to listen.
Okay, you take care, Jenny.
You too.